With Montana News, I'm Sherry Trussler. The Land and Water Conservation Fund was not included in a funding bill that prevented a government shutdown today. The fund uses fees paid by offshore oil and gas drilling companies to conserve land and increase public land access. Montana Democratic Senator John Tester supports the program and says he'll fight to get it reauthorized. Tester says the LWCF is good for Montana's outdoor recreationists and pumps about $6 billion annually into the state's economy. New deposits into the fund stop this Thursday.
Then you start taking regular folks' taxpayer dollars, and it starts coming from the general fund. It puts the program in incredible peril because of that. It takes away the certainty of the program, and it is not good.
Tester says he'll do everything he can to revive the Land and Water Conservation Fund. The trial is underway for a man charged with striking and killing a deputy during a high-speed pursuit. The Great Falls Tribune reports prosecutors and defense attorneys gave opening arguments Tuesday in the case against Adam Sanchez, Jr. Authorities say the August 14 chase began in Great Falls and continued toward Geyser. Sanchez then turned around and was headed back to Great Falls when Cascade County Sheriff Deputy Joe Dunn was struck. After his arrest, Sanchez was hospitalized for extreme methamphetamine toxicity. Attorneys questioned witnesses about whether Sanchez intentionally hit Dunn. Tom Bartleson of the Montana State Office of the Public Defense said in his opening statement that prosecutors would fail to prove intent. Sanchez is serving a 20-year sentence for armed robbery and actions during another pursuit. With Montana News, I'm Sherry Trussler. A hiker in Glacier National Park was grabbed and shaken by a grizzly bear yesterday. The park says his injuries were not life-threatening. The 65-year-old man from Wisconsin was hiking alone off-trail near Mount Hinkle in the Many Glacier Valley, where he surprised a sow grizzly with two cubs. He successfully deployed his bear spray, causing the bear to release him and leave the area. The hiker received puncture wounds to his lower legs and injuries to his hand. The man hiked back to his vehicle in Many Glacier and drove himself to the emergency room at the Northern Rockies Medical Center in Cutbank. He was treated and released later that evening. According to the park rangers, the bear's response to the hiker was defensive in nature and consistent with a surprise encounter with a hiker. Glacier National Park officials are encouraging hikers to follow bear safety protocols like carrying bear spray, hiking in groups, and avoiding obvious bear feeding areas. The next stage in a federal grant program aimed at improving Montana's lowest performing schools took another step yesterday. The Schools of Promise initiative has given millions of dollars to poor performing schools since 2010. All of those schools happen to be on Native reservations. Superintendent of Public Instruction Denise Juneau spoke at Heart Butte Tuesday evening to kick off the latest Schools of Promise campaign in the town's high school.
There will be a lot of things that we're going to talk to you about tonight. And what we're going to ask of you is that everybody stay involved with this effort to make this school even better.
Over the next year, Schools of Promise will work with teachers, administrators, and students in Heart Butte to create a plan for the expected $1.4 million in aid the high school will receive. That money will be spent over 3 years to improve class curriculum, effective teaching, and making the school more welcome to students and their parents. Superintendent Juneau says the money that supports the Schools of Promise initiative is not included in next year's federal budget. The state legislature has shot down attempts to fund this program, according to Montana House Representative Susan Weber. Heart Butte High School has already been awarded its grant, but if this kind of funding is kept off the federal and state budgets, Heart Butte could be one of Montana's last Schools of Promise. Missoula's Neptune Aviation has won the largest of three contracts to supply next-generation air tankers to the U.S. Forest Service to fight fires. Aeroflight Incorporated in Spokane and an Albuquerque company got contracts as well. The Forest Service is taking four tankers from Neptune and a total of three from the other companies. The National Interagency Fire Center in Boise says the contracts will double the number of next-generation air tankers in the Forest Service fleet that can fly faster and carry more retardant than older firefighting aircraft still in use. Forest Service officials say the agency is making progress modernizing its fleet of large air tankers. Proposed port facilities and a pipeline for shipping Rocky Mountain natural gas to Asia via the Oregon coast have won final environmental approval from federal regulators. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission issued notice today that its final environmental impact statement found the Jordan Cove Liquefied National Gas Terminal at Coos Bay and the Pacific Connector gas pipeline across southwestern Oregon would cause some environmental damage, But regulators found the damage would be reduced to less than significant with the mitigation measures proposed by the project developers. Jordan Cove LNG would be the first LNG port on the West Coast. The $7 billion project is led by Calgary, Alberta-based company. Final approval is expected by the end of this year, but gas is not likely to begin flowing for several years. U.S. Senator Steve Daines is co-sponsoring legislation to secure permanent reauthorization of the Land and Water Conservation Fund. That program uses fees paid by offshore oil and gas drilling companies for conservation programs. It wasn't included in a continuing resolution the state passed today to prevent a government shutdown. Daines, a Montana Republican, urged his colleagues to reconsider the measure.
LWCF keeps lands like family ranches in the family and working. It's a fundamental tool that preserves and protects our opportunities to enjoy hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation. It keeps forests in productive use through the Forest Legacy Program, like in the Haskell Basin. And that's why it's so disappointing that reauthorization was not included in the CR we voted on today.
Those who oppose the reauthorization of the Land and Water Conservation Fund say it's expanding the federal government's ownership of land. Others support reforming the fund to better preserve existing public lands. Wildfire smoke still hangs in the air around the northwestern part of the state. According to the Department of Environmental Quality, Thompson Falls this morning was experiencing very unhealthy air, not quite verging on hazardous. The Flathead Valley also has some hazy air, but the quality is listed as only moderate for now. The mild temperature and slight breezes over the next few days should help clear the smoke. Montana's economic development officials are trying to attract big computer data centers to the state, but they're finding it to be a difficult task in the face of lucrative incentives from other states. Sean Becker is the administrator of the Montana Office of Tourism and Business Development. He says he traveled to Silicon Valley this summer to meet with key personnel at two data-intensive companies. But so far, neither company has decided to locate a data center in Montana. Nearly half the states now have specific tax breaks for data centers. Montana doesn't. Becker says Montana has other attributes that could be appealing for data centers, such as the lack of state sales tax and the potential for renewable energy resources. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Sherry Trussler.